Hey, Zach here, and before we dive into this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that you can actually grab the recordings of our most recent Facebook and Instagram ads for List Building Bootcamp for just $25. Now, in January of 2024, we hosted a 5-day live training where we walked our clients through step-by-step how to set up ads that grow their email list every single day so that they're always growing their business, always growing their audience, and always having new people to make offers to. Now, what's really great about this bootcamp is we have literally dozens of client results from it, and you can get the recordings of that most recent one from January of 2024 for just $25. All you have to do is head to theadsbootcamp.com. Again, that's theadsbootcamp.com. And you're going to learn step by step through how people were able to grow their list. We have incredible results like Zita, who added 67 leads to her list in just 5 days at $1.80 a piece, or Nora Jean, who added 62 leads for $1.12 in those 5 days. We have Brenda, who added over 500 people to her list over the course of a week, under 50 cents a piece. Heather Lalonde, who did over 200 leads at 50 cents a piece. Amy Hughes, who added over 300 leads in a week. I mean, the list goes on. And those are just our January testimonials. We have even more than that, plus testimonials from the last 7 times we've done this, and we would love to have you in next. So if you head over to theadsbootcamp.com, you can grab the recordings for just $25. It'll walk you step by step through growing your list, and in less than 5 days, you could have tons of new leads pouring into your list every day, semi-automated with Facebook advertising. So check it out, and let's get into this week's episode.
This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, How to Hustle with Neil Patel.
Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it.
What is up, hustlers? I am ridiculously pumped for this episode because in a lot of ways, I think that this episode is kind of an evolution of the podcast. And, you know, over the last couple of years, I've been building up Heart, Soul, and Hustle brand, our programs, our offer, our community, and it's been an incredible experience. And recently, I've been getting the opportunity to meet some really incredible people. And one of those people I want to introduce you today is Neil Patel, who is the co-founder of Crazy Egg, Hello Bar, and Kissmetrics. He works with companies like Amazon, NBC, GM, HP, and Viacom to help them expand their revenue. He's been called a top influencer by Wall Street Journal. Forbes said he's one of the top online marketers. He's been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine. He was recognized by President Obama. I mean, there's just this whole list. But what was really cool is I see this as an episode where we as the Heart, Soul, and Hustle community gets to kind of break into the mainstream. You know, I was at a mastermind this weekend in Charleston, and one of the really pervasive themes that I picked up on was sometimes we get caught up in this bubble where we only see digital courses. And Neil is kind of somebody who I see as existing in that space, but also taking this knowledge to the outside world. And he wrote this amazing book or co-authored this amazing book called Hustle, which as soon as I found out about, I was connected to someone who helps with that book, and they were like, you should talk to him. It's such a good book. And so I got through that book. I sat down. I busted it out in just a few hours because I just got so entrenched in it. And, you know, the concept of this book and why I ultimately had Neil on the show was because, you know, hustle is this word that just gets thrown around, like, just gets thrown around these days. And when I read the book that Neil had co-authored, I thought that it really, really distilled down the essence of how I perceive hustle. And it's, you know, we talked about this in a past episode, but I don't see it as this crazy, insane work until you die mentality. And neither does Neil, and neither do the co-authors. And it's funny because there's actually some parallels you'll see from the beginning of our interview to the episode that we did about, you know, what really is hustle. And so I want you to kind of pay attention for some stuff where he talks about, you know, understanding what does hustle really mean and knowing how to move into action and knowing how to take action and understanding, you know, the 10,000 hour rule versus the actual ability to distill skills. There's just so many gold nuggets in this interview of amazing content that I invite you to really listen in, take some epic notes, or if you're like me, listen on a walk and then take some action steps afterwards. But I'll come back with some review at the end to kind of remind you what you should reflect on. But this is such an amazing interview, so I will stop talking and introduce you to Neil Patel. Hey, Neil, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here because you are like huge in the internet marketing industry, and I've followed your work for quite some time now, but you recently co-authored a book called Hustle, and based on the name of the show, the Hard Soul and Hustle podcast, I could not get my hands on it fast enough. I went through the whole thing in a day. Just a fantastic book. But for those that don't know about you or about this project that you're working on, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and all that good stuff?
Sure. My name is Neil Patel. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've co-founded a few analytics companies like Crazy Egg, Kissmetrics, Hello Bar. I focus a lot of my time on blogging at neilpatel.com. I just enjoy helping other entrepreneurs succeed.
I love it. Now, normally we end the episode by saying, like, what does hustle mean to you? But I thought since your book is called Hustle, we should actually start there. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the book and the definition of hustle for you and how it kind of came to be this larger concept that you published?
Sure. So for me, the definition of hustle is quite simple. It's any action that you're taking that helps you accomplish your goal, right? And what most people think of hustle, I know the older terminology was people think like conning, stealing, etc. Nowadays, people have it like as in, oh, I'm doing something, I'm taking action. And in most cases, people are hustling. They're trying to not just take action, but find creative ways to take action so that way they can accomplish their goals more efficiently and creatively.
Awesome. Now, you define in the book and just right here, you said it's any action that moves you closer to your goal, which I absolutely love. And there was this concept in the book you talk about, which I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, obliquity, which is the clearest path to your destination isn't always a straight line. Like that's the easiest simplified version. And so how do you know when you're taking an action that is or isn't directly or indirectly moving you closer to your goal? Like what metrics can we stack up our actions against to make sure we're doing stuff that is actually moving us closer to the goal?
Yeah. So what I like doing is I like spending 10 minutes, right? We talk about this in the book. I try doing something for 10 minutes. That's it. I know that sounds short and small, and it is. And that's the whole point of it, because everyone can do it. You spend 10 minutes trying to do something that helps you get closer to your goal. If it works, do more of it. If it doesn't, at the end of 10 minutes, you evaluate it. You're like, all right, why don't you think it's going to move you closer to your goal? Then do something else for the next 10 minutes, right? By breaking it down into small chunks, you can quickly see what helps you move towards your goal and what doesn't. And a lot of times what you'll find is as you're going down this path, you'll find things that you're more and more passionate about that are somewhat related to your goal. And indirectly, you could end up getting to your dream. So for example, with me, when I first started, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I started off creating a job board. I hated it. I wasn't good at it. I couldn't figure out how to get traffic to it. Paid a few marketing firms, got ripped off, had to learn it on my own. I got good at it. I love the concept of marketing. Then I tried doing marketing for other people, did well at it. I didn't enjoy consulting too much, though. It was different doing it for myself versus other people. From that point, I realized that, hey, it's not in my best interest, at least my passion, to help other people grow their traffic. But then from there, I realized these companies I was working with had issues with their tracking and their analytics. So my co-founder and I created some software companies. Love that, right? Indirectly, I eventually got to my goal in life, my passion, because sometimes your goals change too, right? They don't necessarily stay the same, but you learn as you're going along.
I kind of want to tap into something you just said there that you talk about in the book a little bit, which is you tried different things, you went to different places, and ultimately that helped you discover where your talents and your passion intersect. And I pulled something from the book where you basically, you know, to paraphrase, said that too many people are out there kind of saying, chase your passion versus chasing your unique talents. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, how did you know that you were, you know, when you were supposed to shift, right? So you said, like, I didn't really like consulting. How do you find that intersect of passion and talent so that you're not just, you know, trying to sell stuff that no one wants and you're not out of alignment with the things that you enjoy?
Yeah. So the way I end up looking at it is it's quite simple. when you end up doing something, right, like think of your passion, you don't necessarily know what you want to do in life. What you want to do in life isn't always what you're the best at. But when you're really good at something, you put more time and effort, it may come easier to you, and you'll find that you enjoy it because it comes easier to you. That tends to be your passion. If you look at most people, their passion usually isn't something that they suck at. It's usually something that they're good at, or they really want to learn and they get good at it fast. So when you have your passion, if you just keep following it, eventually you'll figure out what you want to do based on that passion.
I love that. And that kind of helps us avoid the trap of, you know, this show specifically speaks mostly to digital marketers, and that's kind of where we see that trap of like everybody wants to teach marketing because that's what's popular or that's where like my passion is like that growth. But that's such a perfect way you said it is, you know, sometimes the talent's not there or we tend to be more passionate about the things that we're good at. So it's better to focus in on the stuff that we're good at, hone those skills, and then when they're more perfected, determine whether or not that's something that we're passionate about because we're never passionate about something at first, which I think is a really great stepping off point into something else you said, which is, I'll leave the ball in your court to explain it, but you kind of talk about how the 10,000 hour rule of mastery, which is first really mainstreamed inside Freakonomics and Tipping Point, Malcolm Gladwell, but it's kind of that old adage we hear that you have to do something for 10,000 hours before you're mastery in that topic. So can you talk about the shift you introduced in the book about how we need to move away from that old school thought of put 10 years into something before you decide? How much time do you put in and how do you know when you've mastered it enough to determine if you pivot or stay with it?
Yeah, so what we found is it's this simple in which if you put 10,000 hours into something, you can do it, you'll be great at it, but you may not like it. When you end up putting in, let's say, 100 hours, 1,000 hours into something that you're really passionate about and you're naturally good at, if that makes sense, like some people naturally have a better skill playing basketball than others, right? They could be taller, more fit, whatever it may be. What we found is when someone puts in time and energy into something that they're more naturally good at, they're way more likely to get good at it faster and succeed at it, right? You don't have to put in a ton of time or as much time into something you're naturally good at versus something that you just want to do and you think you're going to like it. Yeah, like I'm 5'8". If I put in 10,000 hours in playing basketball, I still won't be the best at it. It's not necessarily my passion. It's going to take me forever. I love watching it, but it's going to take me forever to get good at it. If I take my inherent talent and I put some time and energy into it, I'll be able to hack the system and be able to create a business, get a job, etc., what I'm naturally good at much quicker without putting as much time and energy.
I just loved that about the book because I do think that kind of speaks to a lot of stuff we hear in the digital space. Like the first thing that I really thought of was that the three lists, the old adage of like outsourcing, and like you can be good at something, but it doesn't mean you love doing it. That concept to me was so strong because you can get really great at stuff without doing it for 10,000 hours. And when you're great at it and you don't love it, it doesn't mean you have to do it and vice versa. So I really love that. And I want to pivot just a little bit because one of the things you talked about in the book and one of the real analogies that stood out for me was you talked about how right now hustle is, there's like two camps, right? There's the hustle your face off, work 24 hours, never sleep camp. And then there's the hustle with ease camp. And, you know, I see the hustle book leaning more towards the hustle with ease camp. And you told this kind of analogy about the human body. And when we exercise, we break down muscle tissue on a very microscopic level that allows us to rebuild. And you talk about hustling in our business or our life the exact same way. We have to take small actions that in the moment might be painful or not fun or just challenging, but that's what allows us to grow. And you kind of talked about that, like don't kill yourself for the hustle, but you do have to push yourself. And it was one of the best ways I've ever heard it explained. And then you went on to talk a little bit about how, you know, hustling outpaces skill like every time because you can always hustle harder than somebody who is just inherently good. And it brought up this question for me, which is how do you kind of go at bat? How do you hustle more without putting yourself through more of that trauma? How do you, you know, to compare it to the analogy, how do you do more exercise without pushing your muscle past the point of exhaustion?
It's all about ease. When something comes easier to you, you can do it quicker, faster. You can also learn hacks. For example, Tim talks about this in the 4-Hour Body, right? He talks about different ways to hack your mind and thinking that you're losing weight, gaining weight, how to get your body to burn fat. For example, if you cut a ton of calories and then over the weekend you eat a ton of desserts, it spikes up your metabolism. I forgot the exact science of it, but he's just tricking your body, right? When you're trying to figure out how to get more done by putting in less time, that's what comes down to just following what you're good at. When you're naturally good at something, you can put in less time. For example, think of sports. If you don't have the best batting average, you have two options. You can try to swing a few times and you probably won't do well. But if you keep swinging, eventually you're going to hit some balls, right? Same thing, when you're passionate about something and you're naturally good at it, you're much more likely to do it, putting in the time and energy. And hey, even if you haven't perfected it and your batting average is low because you haven't perfected everything, but you take more swings, you know what? It may be easier to take more swings because you're naturally good at it, and eventually you'll hit the ball.
I just thought that concept was so great. And I even doodled out that entire chart from the book. It's right there in the book, and I doodled it out in my notebook because I thought that was so great. And I kind of want to go just a little bit deeper on that. So the key thing here is that it's hustling more doesn't mean working more. It means getting really clear, like we talked about at the beginning, what is actually moving you closer to the goal. Is that kind of what you're saying? Like, we have to figure out what we're good at so that we are able to figure out what we're productive and fast at so that we can do more in less time. It's not hacking productivity. It's hacking the actions that we do.
That's correct. It's hacking the actions we do. It's not necessarily the productivity.
Love it. I love it. And that just like that part of the book flipped productivity on its head for me, because we're always running around like, how do I be more productive? How do I be more productive? And I'm so glad that you gave that answer, because it's not how do we be more productive? It's how do we do the right stuff more frequently so that we're taking massive action more frequently than people who might be working 2-3 times as much as us. Can we talk a little bit about, you have this concept called the cycle of suck. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I just loved this concept too.
Sure. So it's actually a very dangerous cycle in which when you get caught up into something, you're not happy, right? And many times life just sucks. And when things suck, if you don't take action, which is really dangerous, you're going to stay in there and it gets harder and harder to get out. So when things aren't going the way you want, take action no matter how hard it is. Because it's more dangerous to stay in there than it is to not take any action.
And you talk about that all throughout the book. I mean, would you say that really like that is the defining quality that sets people apart who are like the wanters, the dreamers, the wantrepreneurs is like the buzzword, versus the people doing it is actually taking that action?
Yes, it's all about taking action. And people even talk about luck and how if, you know, oh, some people are lucky, they've done really well. Well, you know what? A lot of times that luck is manufactured. They took action to get it. For example, with Patrick, one of my co-authors, he was with his son. His son was trying to find fish in the water, right? And the dad looks at Patrick, looks down at his son, is like, Shane, let's go. There's no fish in there. Shane doesn't say anything to his dad, jumps in the water, shuffles his feet, and boom, up comes fish. And he's like, he manufactured his own luck.
I love it. And you talk so in depth about that in the book, about the four types of luck and manufacturing luck. And I would highly recommend, if you're listening, you pick up the book, because we just don't have enough time to go into all of it. But that was so amazing. And you even say in the book that success is actually hustle, taking action, times luck, which you learn you actually have the ability to manufacture, times your unique talents, which we just spent all that time talking about, is that you can be good at something and leverage that. So it's about taking action, creating your own luck, and plugging that into your unique skill set. So glad you brought that up. I, for the life of me, couldn't find a place to squeeze it in, but you did it and love it. Before we move away from the cycle of suck, I think you also mentioned something called being stuck. And we hear that all the time. Like, it's such a buzzword in copy, sales pages, webinars, like get unstuck. But you broke it down to this really, really simple concept. We get stuck when we look at something and go, it can't be that easy. How did you kind of come up with that concept? And can you talk about how you're seeing that show up with maybe people you work with, or even with people who are readers of your blog? And how do you get past that? How do you actually shake yourself into reality and go, it really is that easy? It's just most people won't do it.
Yeah, funny enough, one of my co-authors came up with that concept, right? The book was written by three of us together. So it's really simple. Like, it was funny. I was talking with one of my coworkers, and we were trying to set up Facebook ads, and they hated it. They're like, this isn't working. I've been trying it forever. I hate this. And I'm like, why do you hate it? They're like, oh, because it's just not working and I suck at it. And I'm like, no, you're really analytical. You're actually pretty good at ads. And they're like, no, it's not going to work. It's just, I'm just done. And they were fed up and they kept doing it and they just hated it, right? But they weren't explicitly telling me, like, I could figure out based on the way they were talking that they were done internally, like mentally. And I gave them one quick tip and I was like, you used to like Facebook ads because it worked. You don't like it now because it doesn't work. And it still does work for so many other people. And I'm like, have you ever rotated up your creatives? Because people just get banner blindness after a while. And then they started rotating up the creatives and then it started working well again after like a few days. Like, oh, this is awesome. It's amazing. And I'm like, sometimes the solution is just right in front of you, right? It's like the data is right there, but people assume the worst in many cases. That's not necessarily the best example of it, but you get the point.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great example because when I read that, I actually almost took it more literal than you're presenting it, which I love. So it's not necessarily knowing that you can do it. It's that sometimes we get so in the mud that we don't see how easy something really is.
That's correct, right? And from an outsider's perspective, a lot of times they see it because they're not in there day in and day out, right? Even happens with me.
Yeah, that's so great. And I think that this is a perfect segue into one of the final points that I want to bring up to the book, which is you talk a little bit about risk. And this pops up to me because you mentioned Facebook ads, which I know like it just puts so many people on edge, but I secretly love them, or maybe not so secretly, but people get really concerned about stuff like that. And especially even in that situation, it feels like there's more risk because there's money involved with ads or marketing or launches or webinars or whatever strategy you decide to go with. So you talk a little bit in the book about how the more risk you take, ultimately, the less risk you're taking as a whole. And I just love this concept. It's relatively prevalent in the investing space, but I've never heard anybody explain it in the marketing space. Can you talk to us a little bit about how the safest risk is a lot of risk?
Yeah, sure. So think of it this way. Most people get super duper rich. I'm talking about like multi-billionaires by doing one thing extremely well, like one business, created Microsoft, Facebook, whatever it may be. Pick one huge business, right? That's how most people became billionaires. Now let's look at a lot of people who succeeded out there in investing, putting all your eggs in one basket. The Facebooks of the world, Microsofts, would you agree that they're rare?
Absolutely.
That's right. And for every one of those, don't you think there's probably millions of failures?
Absolutely.
But if you don't put all your eggs in one basket and you put them in multiple baskets and you spread out your risk and you take more swings, right? By doing that, they will all hit, but you have a better chance of something hitting. And as something hitting, you end up getting more reward.
And it comes right back to the analogy of the more you do, inherently, the more risks you have to take. And I love the way you said it, like the Facebooks and the Microsoft, because, you know, most people listening probably aren't going to have Facebook, Microsoft level startups. But compared to where we are, we can have those kind of successes, right? Like we can have three failed launches in a row, because if one of them makes us $100,000 and we didn't invest money everywhere, we can have a 75% failure rate, succeed 25% of the time and still be better off. It's not about winning more. It's about having the big wins be part of the hustle portfolio, if you will.
That's right. You got it right.
Awesome. So I want to wrap up with just a few questions as we're coming up towards the end of the interview. I want to know, when you were originally writing the book and you guys had some co-authors, you know, hustle has become such a big part of like just this space. Like everybody loves the word. It's all over the place. It's in my brand. I'm sure you hear it all the time. But what is the one big thing that you want people to take away about the concept of hustling? Like there's one core message that you want people to take from the book. What would that be?
It would be simple. If I had to pick one, right? My co-authors may have something different, but for me, it would be take action. And the biggest reason I see people not getting lucky, not finding what they love in life, is because they don't take action. If you don't try new things, you won't find out what you're passionate about. If you don't try new things, you won't ever manufacture your own luck, right? If you don't ever try things and take action, you won't ever accomplish your goals. But just taking action is a huge step that I think most people don't do because they're afraid of, oh, what if I fail? Well, think of it this way. If you fail, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to be in the same spot that you are now. If you succeed, what happens? You'll be better off. So by not trying anything, you'll be in your same spot. By trying something, worst case, you'll still be in the same spot. You don't have much to lose by trying something.
I love it. And maybe you're picking up on this, but I absolutely love the book. That was one of the big takeaways I had. And I'm all about the action. That is just like the best segue of the episode into one of our last couple of questions, our wrap-up questions. Are you ready for the last couple of lightning questions?
Go for it.
All right. So what is one thing that people can do in the next week based on what they've learned here today to get forward momentum in their business? And to speak to what you were saying, what's the action that they can take from what they've learned today?
Sure. I would just try something for 10 minutes and try to see if that helps you accomplish your goals. So with your business, break it down into monthly goals. From there, break it down into weekly, then break it down into daily, then break it down into bite-sized tasks that you can complete in less than an hour. And once you have it, create a checklist and start ticking off those things and make sure your daily checklist, you tick them all off. If you just have a monthly goal, it's too big. It's hard to achieve. But when you start doing things on an hourly, right, you're much more likely to succeed.
Awesome. That's great. And that's something that I just recently started doing, which is the daily checklist, actually, after reading the book. And finally, we will wrap it up. We'll let you get back to your thriving empire, which is amazing. But before I let you go, can you tell us what you're working on and where we can find out more about you and all this amazing stuff that you are working on?
You can find me at neilpatel.com, and I'm just working on helping entrepreneurs and marketers grow their businesses online.
Awesome. I love it. Well, Neil, I just want to give you a big thank you for being on the show today. If you are listening to this, I would highly recommend that you get to any bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. It's right by the checkout at Barnes & Nobles. I just saw it the other day. And pick yourself up a copy of Hustle. It's an absolutely fantastic book. Neil, once again, thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, I don't know about you, but I thought that was a pretty awesome interview. And if you want to get more, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/40 to get the full show notes. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/40. And I won't take too much of your time, but I would encourage you, if you resonated with anything in here, check out the book. And I will admit, I love to read fast. So it's probably a 1 or 2 day book if you were really dedicated to get through it, but you could probably get through it in a few hours. And it's just filled with so many little nuggets of information. You know, I ended up taking like 20 pages of notes from that book just to prep for this interview and formulate some of these questions. But there was a few things that I just want you to kind of really think about. And number one is understanding that you can actually create your own luck. And there are, you know, a million quotes out there, but the one is when, you know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And I think that's so key, is that we don't get lucky. We create luck by the action that we take. And that's kind of what Neil talks about in the book, that hustle is any action, even indirect, that moves you closer to your goal. And so as you're prepping and taking that action, the luck kind of shows up. And he goes so deep on creating your own luck in the book that that was one of my absolute favorite parts. Another thing that I really want you to think about is trying to move away a little bit from the flaws with the 10,000 hour rule. And really learning that when you're moving towards the right goals and you're uncovering this luck and you're plugging into your talents, that you don't have to spend 10, 20, 50 years to become the expert. Now you have to do the work, you have to learn, you have to study, you have to put the energy in. But that old school thought of the only way to get good at something is to do it over and over and over again for 10,000 hours is slowly fading away. And I really invite you to tune into that part of the interview. And then, you know, finally, I want you to think about most people become rich by taking risk. And this is something that really stood out to me. And I'll share a real quick story because I know we're ending the podcast. But when I met with a financial planner this year, I was fortunate enough to start investing a little bit. One of the things he told me was the more risk you take, the less risk you have. And that's so well explained by Neil and in the book Hustle, that you know, you just need to take so much risk sometimes that if one thing pans out, it overshadows all the possible negatives, right? And that's really what Neil's talking about when he says the more risk you have, the less risk there is. And we see that in investing. We see that in 401ks, that the more you diversify, the more risks you're taking, the more safe you actually are. So I invite you to think about risk a little bit differently. And truthfully, this is such a good book. It takes me a while to get through books, but I sat down, I devoured the whole thing. You can check out Hustle anywhere that books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, major bookstore, co-author Neil Patel. Amazing, amazing book, Hustle, The Power to Charge Your Life with Money, Meaning, and Momentum. Check it out. And of course, if you have any comments, head over to the show notes and let us know. Until next week, keep hustling.
Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.